We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Broadcasting from the Shaw Star Market Studios, the home of the Greg Hill Morning Show, weekdays 6 to 10. This is Sports Radio 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1 Lawrence Boston, a Radio.com sports station. NFL Sunday on EEI is presented by
Kaplansky Insurance. More choices, more savings. Kaplansky.com.
Co-sponsored by the New England Recovery Center. Leave the path of addiction and get on the road to recovery. Visit NewEnglandRecoveryCenter.org for more information.
Northeast Electrical, where pros need pros.
And Zuti. Build any app your company needs in a week. Visit Zuti.com for details. This is NFL Sunday with Rich Keefe, Christian Fourier, and Jermaine Wiggins. Now broadcasting from our Best Yet studios, here's Rich Keefe with Super Bowl champions Christian Fourier and Jermaine Wiggins.
Good morning and happy new year. Welcome to a week 17 edition of NFL Sunday. We have made it. It is the regular season finale for the New England Patriots, and this year, the season finale for the New England Patriots. They take on the New York Jets today at 1 o'clock. It is Keith Fourier and Wiggy here with you up until 1 o'clock today. You can stream the show anywhere on WEEI.com or the Radio.com app. Fellas, good morning. How are you?
Oh, Richard, hello, Christian, everybody. What is up?
Yes.
Hello. It's
look
been
who's
so
back.
Long.
Wow.
Hey, you know, I just want to make sure.
Who's back?
Okay.
Wait a second.
Are we still all in this together? Because they said 2021.
You better believe it.
So we're still going strong, right?
We are still all in this
and
together.
And Corona's still here. Nothing
no,
changed.
I thought it was over. I thought we're all good now. You turn the page.
Remember? Do you remember Y2K? Wiggy,
yes.
No, Keith, you're probably too young.
No, I remember. I was in high school for it, but I remember it big time. People were freaking out. They didn't know what to do. They were stocking up. They thought
people thought the world was going to
turn
end
on them.
Yeah, right. I felt like that's kind of what this year was. Like, okay, but it was the opposite. Okay, whoa, we have a lot to be excited about. 12 o'clock, 12 o'clock's going to come around, and all our problems are going to disappear. Woo-hoo-hoo! Staying up late. I'm like, wait a second. This is nothing changed.
No, it wasn't.
The Patriots still suck. Coronavirus is still here.
Right.
And, you know, the bowl season sucks also.
Right. And we don't even get a Prince song. It's 1999, so I mean, at least in Y2K, we got to hear that all night long.
We got to hear
it's gonna party like it's 1999.
Yeah.
Now, so how are you guys doing? You guys excited for the last game of the season?
Is this the last game of the season?
This is it. They don't play anymore, no matter what happens today. They can win.
You sure? There's no way. There's no like backdoor way.
There's no path.
Have they allowed the 10th playoff team yet in the AFC? Have they opened that door up? They have not.
What if we have like 7 or 8 teams have COVID today? Is there like they're going to add maybe 6 or 7 playoff teams?
you know that would be a way to get in. It's like if a couple teams can't do it. Hey, call your team. Maybe that's why they're asking all these guys to stick around for like the first week.
Yeah, that's it. Yes, they're like all these teams.
You know, just in case you guys may need to play.
Yeah,
come back, fly back into the city.
How many? Stupid.
Let's see how many teams would the Patriots need to not be able to be played playoff week. So
they would need
three or four teams. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's possible. Anything's possible. So you're saying there's a little chance that the Pats can be in the playoffs.
And it's kind of amazing that they didn't have to go to that week 18. We were talking about it off and on since the season started. We're like, well, why not just add an extra week? And they didn't, and it looks like they're not going to need to.
They made it. They made it to the end. The biggest issue now, there's I'm sure we'll talk about it maybe at some point, but the biggest rumblings now is like, what are they going to do about the postseason? Yeah, I just feel like it's really stupid that they don't just make some hardline rule that says this is what we're doing. You know, instead of like, oh, you know what, we're not going to make him go into a bubble. We're not going to let him stay in a hotel. It's up to the teams. Well, I'm assuring you that almost every single team that is in the playoffs is going to have some sort of protocol that requires their players to stay in the somewhat, you know, 5 mile radius, you know, something like that. Because how stupid would it be? You finally make it to the playoffs. You're the freaking Bills. You're the Browns. And then you go ahead, one guy does something stupid, and then you're all screwed.
But see, don't you think the NFL is like taking, they're going with the approach like, all right, it's your job to police yourself. We're not canceling games. I mean, Rich, you just brought up the Saints, right? They have, what, three or four running backs?
The whole running back room's out, so they had to bring up a practice squad guy. Yeah.
Right, you saw the Browns play without four of their, you know, wide receivers, and, you know, three of them were all starters.
Well, the Broncos played a game without a quarterback, so they're playing the games, and that's... you're going to have to be smart come playoff time. You're going to have to separate all your star players can't be around each other. The backup quarterback can't be near the starter, I wouldn't think, because if the backup gets it and now the starter has to sit out, he doesn't even have it just because of the protocol. Like, that's not going to fly.
And it almost seems like the NFL is like, well, we're not going to cancel any games. We're going to push forward. It's your job to make sure you police all these players and make sure they're not doing anything stupid. And clearly, you know, when you see – how players operate, they're not doing anything stupid. I mean, they're always doing stuff stupid.
Yeah.
You saw the Tennessee Titans player.
Oh, my God.
Basically on a yacht partying up for New Year's
Eve. I love
it.
God bless the youth of today. God bless them. God bless them, everyone. That's what I was looking at that going, holy crap. This guy has no idea. No awareness whatsoever. Just
none.
Zero.
Hey, he's out of the playoffs.
No one's going to see it. You know, I'm on a boat, so it's kind of international waters. There's different rules.
So and you got like some chick or some dude is going to pull out their iPhone and Snapchat about what a great time that they're having on a yacht for the first time hanging out with an NFL
star. Amazing. It's amazing. I tell you what, it is kind of interesting to me how the NFL is just, they're almost, hey, the COVID is part of the story. We're not going to avoid the story. They're part of the story. So, part of the challenge for each team is how they navigate it, how they manage it. Are they affected by it? So, because a team that should win is ultimately could get screwed just by the fact is like, you know, two of their important guys had to be isolated. Or here's even another angle. How desperate are they to get to the playoffs, and now they're there. They're finally there. Mm-hmm. Are they willing to kind of bend the rules a little bit? Turn a blind eye to make sure. I mean, like, listen, we were pretty militant about it during the regular season, but now it's the freaking playoffs. That's not a close contact guy. No. Delete it. Change it. Rearrange it. This guy can play. We can prove it. Like, that, I think, is going to be part of it also.
I think
league could even do that, too. Now, they'll never say that, and they're going to pretend that they wouldn't and all this other stuff, but I feel like, if you just want to go to the extreme example, you know, Patrick Mahomes versus Aaron Rodgers in the Super Bowl, and one of those guys has it, or one of those guys is a close contact, but they have no symptoms, maybe they lost that test. And then you'll find out on Monday, could you believe it? Mahomes had it, but they played the whole game. I would not think the NFL is going to be diving in there and making sure their star players aren't playing once they get to that point.
Aren't you going to kind of like, not that you're going to see anything crazy, but next week, right, the Saints will play wildcard weekend and their star player, Alvin Kamara, just tested positive yesterday for coronavirus. So, you know, usually if a guy tests, like, I know that you hadn't seen guys coming back in a week. Usually it's like the close contact guys would be able to be back. So Kamara's going to be, you know, he's going to have to, whatever, I forget what the rule is, because it seems like, you know, there's so many things going on. But isn't it like three negatives since your last positive or something crazy like that? So, I mean, keep an eye on Alvin Kamara. I think he'll end up playing. But, you know, here's a guy who just got it yesterday, and, you know, they're going to play, probably a week from today.
Yeah, and they have a chance, and we'll get into all the playoff ramifications for everybody. They do have a chance to get the bye, but they need the Packers to lose, and then they need to win. So we'll see. I mean, again, they don't have Kamara today, so they might not even get that part of it done. But we can get into all of that as we go throughout the day. Tom Curran will join us at 10 o'clock. I have a question for you guys right off the top here, because they're playing the New York Jets. The reports are that Adam Gase is going to be out. We know that Bill Belichick loves Adam Gase. And this isn't just a new thing from this week. There's been, for years now, he has complimented Adam Gase, whether he was a coordinator or a head coach. What would be a worse scenario? And I feel like I might know the answers that both of you guys are going to have. But what would be a worse scenario for Patriots fans? if the Pats brought back Cam Newton or brought in Adam Gase. What would be worse?
Oh, God.
I think most people would say if the Pats brought back Cam Newton because Adam Gase.
What would you say, Wiggy?
Would be a worse scenario.
Yeah. Oof. Poirier?
Listen,
yeah, Poirier, you go first.
It's freaking Cam Newton, Wiggy. I really think you need to finally admit that he is, and I'll put it in a polite way because maybe, you know, former players don't like to rip other former older players, you know. Mm-hmm. I get that. His time is over, okay? And the most polite way, his time is older. He reminds me of an old boxer that says, I can do it. And then you put him out there, and he underestimates how fast and how much stamina these younger guys have and how a couple of injuries has completely debilitated his ability to do his job. Mm-hmm. Like, and then it just starts to be subtle hints and subtle excuses that I'm like, okay, nobody gives a crap. Like, so the answer to the question is Cam Newton. Like, Adam Gase couldn't fix Ryan Tannehill. He admitted that he couldn't fix and do anything with Sam Darnold. They're all better than him. What do you think he would do with Cam Newton? Cam Newton would be playing tight end, and he would be behind Ryan Izzo, okay? That's the reality of it.
I don't know about that. I think
he's not beating him out.
Two years in a row, he's held that job.
To use your boxing analogy, listen, George Foreman was able to pull it off, even after his first fight. So here's what I would say. Now,
I want you to admit it. I want you to admit that his time is past him.
I don't know how you feel about Chris Sims, but I value his opinion.
He's a troll.
We had him on Greg Hill's show last week.
You value his opinion. Okay.
Yes, I do.
He must agree with Wiggy's.
Yeah, well, we had him on Greg Hill's show, and we asked him about Cam Newton. He said that he thinks that Cam Newton would be the perfect fit to come back because he thinks in a normal year, Cam Newton, because remember, he had him ranked number 10 in his top 40 quarterbacks going into the season.
Oh, my gosh. I can't deal with this.
Listen, the guy's on NBC, so everybody's on drugs. He's on the pre-show for Sunday Night Football, so he must be doing something right. So I value his opinion.
Yeah, his dad's a former quarterback in the Hall of Fame. Okay?
And he says, if you bring Cam back and you put some pieces around him, he could be a playoff caliber quarterback. I think when you look at Adam Gase as an offensive coordinator, he was decent in Denver.
Yeah, with Peyton Manning.
Well, that is
true. Peyton Manning did everything there.
Yeah, that is true.
And the head coach was really, who was the head coach? Oh, gosh. Was really the main guy. It was the guy was at Houston, then he took over. Oh, I can't remember his name.
Oh, yeah,
regardless. Kubiak was the head coach.
Was Gary Kubiak the head coach?
Is that who you're talking about? Same guy that was head coach in Houston. He was head coach in Houston, then he was done for a year. He came back, and he coached when Peyton was there.
Yep, you're right. Gary
John
Kubiak,
Fox
you're
was
right.
2011-2014. Kubiak was 2015 to 2016.
Yeah, so Kubiak comes back because he's Elway's boy.
So it was right. Fox for all those years. Fox was the quarterback when they lost the Super Bowl, and then when they won it, it was Kubiak.
Yeah. So... Yeah. It's okay to say it. Like, we all have to come to grips with it. And if Sims, I mean, some of these guys, and he's cut from the same cloth as you, Wiggy. You make an opinion. You do it too early, premature, obviously, and then you're not willing to adjust it based on new information. That's a business that's going to fail. Oh, why do you keep doing it this way? Well, I've done it 1,000 years this way. Yeah, but nobody buys stuff. Wait, what are you doing? Well, I'm not changing. That's you. You're the
but
guy
when I
that
look
won't
at the
change,
quarterback
even
situation.
Though you can see. If the dude can't throw, I'm not going to sit here and say
see,
he doesn't have some assets.
I don't think that's where you and I differ because you say he can't throw. I say that he's proven he can throw.
Oh, my God. I'm talking about. Okay, we know he can technically throw the freaking football.
Everybody can technically throw the ball.
Well, yeah, right. I don't know about that.
They all can throw the football. You hit on that one word, and you're like, oh, you keep saying he can't.
Did you see Stidham throw the football?
He can't throw NFL passes as a starter.
Did you see Stidham throw the football against Buffalo? It didn't look like he could throw.
Matter. He's a rookie, okay?
I don't want him either. That's the thing. It's like, I don't want Stidham.
I think the bigger question, Rich, should be,
well,
what?
Answer this one first.
Well, I just told you, I wouldn't have a problem.
You'd rather have Newton than Adam Gase next
yeah,
year.
If you had to have one. Because to me, I think it's more about the talent.
He knows nothing about Adam Gase.
No, zero about Adam Gase. No, no, because I know if Adam Gase comes here, it's always gonna be about the talent that you surround Adam Gase with. So I think if you surround Adam Gase with decent talent, or you surround Cam Newton with decent talent, I think they both are guys that can help you get to the playoffs.
I think both would be bad. I don't want either one.
Now you answer the question.
Okay, I am gonna answer it. I think I would rather have Gase because I don't think McDaniels is going to get a head coaching job. So I think McDaniels will be the offensive coordinator. And if they did hire Gase, he would just be quarterback's coach. Now, I don't think he helps you very much. But as a quarterback's coach, it's going to be less negative impact than if your starting quarterback isn't good. So, yes, I don't think he'll help the development of the next starting quarterback.
Okay.
But I think the damage would be minimized compared to the quarterback that you have to roll out there every week and you see the results. So I don't want either one. I think Gase is a horrible coach. I think the players don't like him. There's always the argument, and you guys would know it better, about, you know, head coach versus position coach or coordinator, right? Like, you know, some guys just can't be head coaches. Maybe that's right. Him. But there's too many examples of players like Tannehill and like Devontae Parker and Kenyon Drake and Jarvis Landry who got better when they either went somewhere else or he left them.
Don't you think that's a little bit different? Because, like you said, as an offensive coordinator, you have way more power than you would as a quarterback coach, right? So as a quarterback coach, you're just out there, you know, help trying to develop the guy on the practice field, you know, watching film with him, like doing those type of little things where you don't have much power, you don't have much say when it really comes
to. But I don't think the problem is this team needs a quarterback. Chances are they're going to get a young one. And if Gase is one of the guys molding that quarterback, I don't love the chances of that kid turning out to be good.
Here's the bigger question, right? It's not about whether it's Cam Newton or Adam Gase or anything. I think the bigger question is the Patriots have to bring in a quarterback. The question becomes, is that quarterback somebody that they draft in the first round with, you know, that pick in the teens, and he's the guy that they're instantly plugging in? Or is that quarterback then going to a guy that you're saying, we're going to bring in free agency? Or is he a quarterback that you're going to be via some type of trade? So if you had to pick, you know, which area would you go with first? Would it be draft, free agency, or trade?
Well, I think today's game could kind of dictate that a little bit for you. If you lose, it sounds like you could maybe get the 10th pick. And if you win, you're probably more like 15, somewhere in the, like, the, you know.
Well, you would need a lot of things to happen to jump from 14 to, I believe it was number 9. So there were a few
things. But even 9, 10, and then if you just trade up, it's a lot easier to trade up from 9, 10 than it is 15, 16. And so I'd be thrilled with that. If they ended up with the third quarterback in the draft, whoever they felt like was the guy, then that'd be great.
Can I just go back to this question again? Mm-hmm. Because so, you know, Newton, I'm not even calling him Cam anymore. I'm calling him Newton.
Newton is,
you know, I saw some comments that he made about, you know, I wish I would have been here, you know, had a preseason, you know, got to know the offense
off-season,
a little bit better. Dude. It's week 16, 17.
Yeah, that ain't it.
The offense is in. This has nothing to do with you not knowing the offense. Like, now that's my point. To me, it's getting pathetic. It's becoming a guy.
Yeah, but I think those are excuses, though.
And I also feel like he still wants to play in the league. So what he's trying to prove publicly is that, listen, guys, and that was a crazy situation. This wasn't the real Cam. You didn't see the real Cam. Mm-hmm. Okay, mm-hmm. So fine. So What could Adam Gase do to fix Mr. Newton? Okay, well, if he can't anticipate right, mm-hmm. if he can't like run the offense because I don't think he can physically make the right throws. And mm-hmm. then I add in the fact that his anticipation is pretty bad, and I'm not going to blame it on the system because he knows the system, and it's not like they're running a huge playbook. It's dumbed down to be polite. So mm-hmm. if you can't do that, I don't think anyone can help him, because I just don't feel like he's fixable. So here is who Cam Newton is. He is an older quarterback that is brought in by an older position coach, offensive coordinator that had him either when he was in college or when he was in the pros, who now has a significant role on another team. And they say, you know who we need? Cam Newton. He goes, mm-hmm. he backs up, He mentors. He's a good locker presence. He keeps it loose. He gives insight. There's no threat, and there's not even a real threat because he can't throw the freaking ball. Even if he does, even if the other guy sucks, no one's putting him in. So that's where I think he is, and there's nothing to be ashamed of. That's good money. It's work. You're still in the league. That's who I think he is.
Ryan Fitzpatrick made a career off the door.
But he's playing. He's killing it right now.
Well, he's not playing this week. Well, and he's probably not going to start in the playoffs. When you look at
Cam needs to be the guy that backs up Lamar Jackson, and he only plays Lamar needs to take a poop.
Here's what I think the issue becomes, right? I think you always hear that saying, you guys are whistling past the graveyard. Well, in this case, I think you guys are walking slowly with your headphones on past the graveyard, and there's a bunch of zombies coming up from their graves.
Oh, no. Zombies.
It's zombies, Rich. Zombie apocalypse. Yep. But the thing, I'm speaking to I'm a big zombie guy. But here's the thing that I think the bigger issue is, and Cam kind of said it a little bit, and I don't know, I think he feels this way. He talked about how not having an off season, not able to build chemistry, all that kind of stuff. And I think all that was window dressing. If you really pull back those layers, it was window dressing for him saying, I wasn't given a real shot because of the talent I had around me, because of the COVID situation. So if I'm giving a real shot, which, like Christian said, we're all in this together. We're back to normal in 2021 with a real off season, with, being able to build those relationships with quality, good players, legit one and twos and a tight end. He's saying that's who you'll see the real Cam Newton. What you saw wasn't the real Cam Newton.
Do you think Cam Newton is an accurate passer?
I think at times
it's yes or no. It's not a gray area.
What do you mean?
It's yes or no.
No, but everyone wants me to respond.
More often than not, he's not.
Do you think he's a good passer? Do you think he's like he throws an easy ball to catch?
Yeah, I would say he doesn't throw a hot ball to catch.
No, he doesn't. Christian, hot as hell. I cannot believe that you will not admit this.
I just admitted it.
You lose. No, he's not an accurate passer. He doesn't throw a catchable ball.
What do you mean he doesn't throw a catchable ball?
If quarterbacks who are
you're
good.
Playing in the National Football League, if the ball hits you in the hand,
let's broad stroke it. Let's broad stroke it. Fine. I'm saying you should catch everything that they throw you.
Have you ever said
right?
that to a quarterback,
everything
Christian?
That they can throw to.
The ball's too hot. It's too hot.
It doesn't matter.
Have you ever said that to a quarterback?
No, but it doesn't matter.
Going back to the huddle.
Okay?
Hey, take
I can guarantee you have better hands. Listen, you want to have a hands
Rich,
contest?
Back to, hey,
you want
hey,
to have,
hey,
a, hey, have hey, a hands hey, contest? Let's
hey,
do that.
Rick Meyer,
get the
take
jugs
some
out.
Of that speed.
Hey, Rick,
get the jugs
hey,
out.
What are you trying to prove?
Who can catch more? Let's do that drill. Let's do that once
no,
and for
I'm not
all.
Trying to say
get
that.
Get the jugs out, and let's see who has better hands.
Hey, John Christa, why don't you take a little sauce off that?
What are we putting the jugs machine speed-wise on? Take that speed
out. Oh, my God, as high as you want.
But Christian, but that's my point. These guys are playing in the NFL, and you're going, he throws a hot ball.
He does.
I asked you.
Right.
Rich, you heard me ask Christian, did you ever say to the quarterback,
no,
hey, take a little speed off of that? And you go, no, of course.
I will say this, though, but let me just add to it then. But there are a lot of times, I never blamed a quarterback for throwing it hot, but I would say there are quarterbacks that make it awfully
easier.
Harder. And we're talking about guys.
That.
So you talk to any quarterback.
But that's the accurate
if you talk
part.
To any quarterback. I mean, there are quarterbacks that are just I mean, listen, I can name them. Mm-hmm. I'm like, man, this guy, everything's so hard for him. Like he makes nothing easy on me.
Well, Michael Vick was that way. When Michael Vick was
just,
in Atlanta,
it's a rocket.
He just
every
threw
time it's a
absolute darts at people.
God forbid you turn your head around late. This guy's and that's my point. It's a partnership.
Well, yeah. Drew used to
listen.
Throw
we
rockets.
Do not have to throw rockets on to our backs that flare to the right to a crossing route where one the ball is going through the offensive lineman, and you can't pick it up. And here he comes throwing it like it's like he's a closer for the Yankees. My point is, ultimately, he doesn't have the skill set. He doesn't have the touch. And I just feel like it's
right, but
like
that's accuracy, though. Accuracy, you asked me, is he accurate? And I said no, but he's never been accurate.
It's part of playing the quarterback position. How can you not be?
Putting juice on it.
Everyone's got juice.
Right, but listen, it's your job as a ball catcher in the National Football League.
It is your job. I am admitting that. Of course it is. My point
is... Yeah, but
it
can be easier, though.
He has one speed. He has one speed, and that's it. He's got no changeup. If he's a pitcher, he's got one pitch.
Right, but that one. But see, here's
and
the
issue.
And
he's never going to last.
Right, but here's the issue. He has one speed, but we've always known he has one speed, or like he has one pitch, right?
I know. Suddenly now it's like we all knew this all along. He's got one speed. When he was the MVP, nobody was saying that.
No, everybody
nobody
was saying
he has
that.
One
and,
pitch.
No, no. When he was the MVP, people were still criticizing his accuracy. When he was
the MVP, nobody was criticizing anything.
Yes, they were.
No, they were not.
Christian,
no, they weren't criticizing anything.
People were still criticizing his whole career, and rightfully so. The same way they do with Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson was the MVP last year, and people were criticizing his ability to be accurate and throw the football. So that's something that he's always dealt with. He's not been one of those quarterbacks who came in the league where he was a pocket quarterback or he was just this accurate passer, and then all of a sudden something happened and he wasn't been able to do that before. He's always been criticized the same way with Michael Vick. That's what people were doing, and they were true to so because they weren't accurate at times. And so when Chris Sims – who, like I told you,
your
I value
his
opinion.
Yeah, he's got
well,
good
no,
I never thought that would be.
I never met the guy before, Christian.
Go.
I never met him before.
I can't believe you
I am.
Chris Sims are buddies now.
No, no. I am as biased as they come because I've never met the guy one day in my life. All I'm saying is I think it's regardless of it's Adam Gase, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick, the kid that they draft in the first round. If you don't put talent around whoever the quarterback is,
oh, of course they need somebody.
You're going to be in that same situation. And I think what Cam Newton is saying, only trying to break down what he said, is that this year he was dealt a bad hand, and he wants to next year, hopefully, if he's still here, to prove that he is a better quarterback than
they're
he showed
all,
this year.
All of them dealt with the same set of circumstances.
No, they're
he's
not.
No
you
different
know that,
than
Christian.
Anybody
Come
else.
On. Everybody like you
dealt.
Said.
Oh,
you
my God,
said
Joe Burrow
how many, let me ask you
didn't
you,
have a preseason.
You
Justin Herbert didn't have a preseason.
Right,
we're talking about
you
rookies.
This. You played in a lot of you played before a lot of quarterbacks.
I don't know what he has on you.
No,
I
but let me. I don't
is.
Have anything. Yeah, but let me ask
he's
you
got
this.
Something on you.
You played
you
for
and
you,
Sims.
You played for a lot of quarterbacks.
You guys were on a boat.
You played for a lot of quarterbacks, right? And there are, like you said, there are quarterbacks that you look at and go, and I know throughout your career, you probably looked at and went, ooh, this guy's not
good. I know,
yeah,
you know who's good and you know who's bad. Like, I'm not debating that at all. That, even
right,
when
but
it comes
what
to
I'm
the,
saying
to the,
is
to the
you're
touch
feeling,
passes.
You're feeling as a player, you might say, well, if I had a better quarterback, I could show that I could do more is all I'm saying. And I think that's what Cam's saying. If I had better talent, I could show that I could do more.
So this is
I
his,
can't
this
wait
is him
for...
openly criticizing the receivers now after defending
Well, not
them
yeah, it's, yeah, well, it's not openly criticizing.
No, no, it's sort of like
shaded.
Side.
Yeah, yeah, side
shade.
Shade.
I'm looking forward to the Jugs Machine hands challenge.
Let's go. We got to get that. We got to find the Jugs Machine.
Then we got to figure out the distance as we walk our way in, Rich, because then when you get real good, we should be able to snatch it right off the thing at 90 miles an hour.
That's a stupid drill.
Well,
that's
why?
A stupid drill.
That's
because like anyone can just stick their hand. No, the tough one is when you can't pick it up and it's coming at a crazy angle.
Oh, so now you want me to turn around?
Yeah, we're going to run routes in the parking lot.
Oh, we're going to sit there and just walk? No, we're just going to spot catch.
Or we could do what Bill
spot catch.
Rich, we could do what Bill had us do one year. He'll write numbers on the balls, and we have to call the numbers out at the tip of the ball. So,
oh, there you go.
That's
I'm all
too.
For the judge
that's
machine.
Some stupid
now, the real question is, here's the real question.
Yes.
Gloves or no gloves?
No gloves.
Ooh,
no gloves, apparently.
We're going old school.
Okay. I can tell you what, you can't find a picture of me in college wearing gloves, but I'm sure you had them on left and right.
No, not in college. I didn't
wear
gloves.
Oh, sure you did. Oh, you look, and I would say in the first 5 years of the pros, same thing.
I didn't wear gloves.
No gloves.
I didn't. I had gloves on or not.
You know when
anything.
I started wearing gloves? When I was
here?
Blocking some dude, and my fingernail got caught in his jersey.
Oh.
And he ripped two of my fingernails off. Like, to the, I was like, that's it. I'm done.
Gloves.
I only wore gloves for protection. I didn't wear gloves to help me catch the ball better. Sometimes I used to cut the fingers out of the gloves, like Ben Coach used to do.
Like you're riding a motorcycle.
Yes, exactly.
Like you're a weightlifter in the 80s.
All right. I used to do that.
All right, well, we can take your thoughts on this. 617-779-7937.
It's like we never had a break, boys.
Did you wear gloves when you played football? No, would you rather? What's worse, bringing back Cam Newton or Adam Gase? We can also get in some of the building blocks on this team. And Tommy Kern will join us at 10 o'clock. You are listening to NFL Sunday, and it's all brought to you by Kaplansky Insurance.
The Greg Hill Show, morning 6 to 10. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Patriots closing out the 2020 season today as they face the 2-13 New York Jets. Kickoff is at 1 o'clock. The Jets are expected to part ways with head coach Adam Gase following today's game. The Jacksonville Jaguars, owners of the number one overall pick in the upcoming draft, are expected to move on from their head coach Doug Marrone this offseason and are rumored to be in talks with former Ohio State head coach Urban Meyer. Celtics will look to improve to 4-3 today. They tip off with the Pistons at 3 o'clock. And the Red Sox looking for relief pitching as they are interested in Alex Colome. Colome had 12 saves with a .81 ERA in 22 innings for the White Sox last season. Colome was with Heim Bloom and the Tampa Bay Rays from 2013 to 18. I'm Rich Keefe. That's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
NFL Sunday with Keith Fourier and Wiggy.
Broadcasting from our Best Yet studios. Best Yet. Shop your local grocer for the best quality and value.
On the home for Patriots fans, WEEI.
Broadcasting from our Best Yet studios, this is NFL Sunday. Keith Fourier and Wiggy here with you on WEEI, taking up until 1 o'clock. Tom E. Kern from NBC Sports Boston will join us at 10. Let's go to your phone calls right now at 617-779-7937. Sorja's in the car. He joins us next. What's going on, Sorja?
What's going on, boys? We got my boy Christian Fourier, Wig Master, Ricky Rich in the house. How we doing?
That's a good show right there.
I like it. It's a good start.
Yep. Listen, I'm going to fix the Patriots, okay? Bill Belichick can't do it. You guys do it, so I've taken it upon myself. So what we need to do is we need to have a real quarterback competition this year. You guys know that the impact of COVID with Tom Brady leaving and, you know, everything that went on, we did not have a true quarterback competition in New England. So what we need to do is we need to bring back Stidham, we need to bring back Newton, and we bring in, not saying Carson Wentz, but another third guy, and then let them have a true meritocracy and fight it out and see who's the best bet.
All right, okay, well, thanks for the call. So, what do you think of that?
So, no to that. but I will say this.
Somebody?
I will say this. It reminds, because I haven't talked to you. So Wiggy and I worked together last week, right, Wiggs, with Tangway.
With Tangway.
So, and at that point in time, Keith, a certain quarterback from a certain Washington football team got released, which he automatically added, which is easy to add to the realistic wish list for the Patriots quarterback. Like, it's not going to be, I would say, I would follow that last caller up with this. Is it more likely that neither guy is on the roster next year, or just Stidham? Like, what's more likely to happen? Both guys gone, or one out of the two back?
I would say one of the two back, not one being Cam, more likely than Stidham.
Ooh. Of course.
I
actually think there's a good chance of neither one being on the opening day roster. Well, I don't think Cam will be, but I think the real story now is, what do we do with Stidham?
Let me ask you this. Right. Do you think Belichick and McDaniels like Cam or Stidham more?
Cam.
Clearly Cam. Right.
No, okay. but as a, well, I don't as know a player, I'm saying he likes Cam because he has no choice. Like, that's he has no choice.
Right, but we're talking about those two guys, right? We're talking about Stidham and Cam. Those are the only two that we're talking about. You said which one is more likely to be back, or both, or that kind of. And I would say, based on the information that we know from listening to Bill talk on your show, Christian, on OMF every Monday, based on the information that we have, he likes Cam over Stidham.
Okay, but why? Give me. You know what? I don't want to talk to you right now. I want you to think about it, okay? Because I kind of already know. I feel like Keith is going to give me some rationale. Okay. Yeah. Why do you think he likes Cam Newton so much?
I think he. Again, I know it's kind
or
of.
Is, little, is that even the right way to ask the question?
Like, no, why it
is
might, he, it
no,
might
that's
be.
The right way to ask
or
the
like,
question.
Why is he sticking with him?
Why honestly, does he stick with him? Why does he like him? It's a simple
answer.
Again,
I think it's become sort of the easy answer, but I feel like it must be he sees Stidham in practice, and Stidham must be atrocious. That's what it's got to be. That's the only thing I can come up with, because Cam's been so bad, he's even pulled him a couple times in games. But Stidham said plenty of opportunities to just be the starting quarterback the next week. They finally get eliminated from the playoffs. A lot of people said, you know, as long as they're in the playoffs, it's ugly. But, you know, there's the running element of Cam and whatever, and the team likes him and all this other stuff. Because I thought that's what it was for a while. I thought he is charismatic. He is a leader. The guys on the team gravitate towards him for better or worse. Like, whether he's a good player or not, they seem to buy into Cam. But, all right, you're out of the playoffs, and you still won't go to this guy that we don't know. But I say we don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing Bill and Josh have seen him. We heard the comments that Josh had last week. He's like, oh, I've seen plenty of Stidham in practice. Like, he didn't say, I know he sucks, but he was thinking that. Like, he was thinking that when he said that.
So to answer your question, Christian, when they look at those guys, when they look at those two guys, Bill, I think, says to him, unless Bill is being a, like you just called me, a complete liar, and you know, things change, and how can you not see it, and I'm so stubborn with my opinion, unless Bill looks at it and goes, all right, well, everybody can see that Cam's not, you know, he's having a bad year, and, you know, he's having some issues, but I don't want to make the quarterback change, because then how's that going to look on me? Unless that's Bill doing it that way and saying, I'm not going to give you guys the satisfaction to say I told you so.
Yeah. Honestly, does it have anything to do with Brady? And my point is, you know, if you believe it all in their, you know, competitiveness between Belichick and Brady, and we look back on it and say, oh, yeah, the first year that Brady was gone, Belichick was late to sign Cam Newton, and then he didn't even last the season. He had to bench him. He was so bad. Whereas this way, as bad as he was, you'll say, yeah, he signed Cam. Cam started every game. They missed the playoffs, but, you know, Cam started every game. I don't know. Is that a factor?
Right.
Because
well, I don't know.
It seems so crazy to watch him play week in and week out and still be the starter that I think there's not a crazy enough theory as to why he's out there.
And knowing Bill, like Christian knows Bill, I just can't see Bill going, I'm going to keep him in even though I know it's wrong or I know it's not making the team better just to – make sure people don't throw this in my face. Like, I see him more about what you said the first part, Rich, is that they've seen enough of Stidham and they feel like that Cam gives them the best chance of winning. That's it.
I think the answer is very simple. It's the lesser of the two evils. I believe in my heart of hearts that Bill knows that he cannot win with Cam Newton as an NFL quarterback. However, based on what his options are, So he's never lying. Cam gives them the best option to win. So I always feel like he's telling the truth but it's filtered with, you know, just, you know, there's not like he's answering directly, but you have to like kind of translate it and filter through what he's saying. Okay, because even on was it last Tuesday, we were talking to him, and I was like, all right, listen, is it fair to say that starting Stidham, but by starting Stidham, you wouldn't necessarily find out more about him than you already know? And his answer was, there's some truth to that. Okay, so. And then we kind of circled back, and Tangway tried to kind of you know follow up with it, but he's like, no, I didn't say that. So, but his answer was there's some truth to that. So if you really can't really find out anything new, mm-hmm. you already kind of know. Let's just say he thinks he's just not ready, or he's just okay, and he missed on that pick. Then he still believes that based on his options, Cam Newton is still better.
And he also said a couple minutes later in that same interview where he talked out the other side and said, well, we also seen enough of Stidham to know what he is.
Say that again?
Well, he also said in that same interview with you guys, when you said there is some truth to that, because I remember hearing it, he also then said, well, we've seen enough of Stidham. Because there was a question that was asking, you know, not too far after that about it. And he says that we've seen enough and we kind of know what Stidham is. I don't know if you remember. I mean, you should, but that's, I mean, that's kind of what he said.
The Stidham story, though, is really crazy because you consider when they drafted him in the fourth round and then he was the only backup to Tom Brady last year. They got rid of Hoyer.
Right.
And we've seen years where, you know, when they first drafted Ryan Mallett, a whole round higher than Jared Stidham, he wasn't the only backup his first year. Like, they were like, there's been years where they've had three quarterbacks in the roster. There's been years that they've had two. And so they felt, or maybe they just thought Brady never gets hurt, but Stidham was the only guy last year. Then to start this year, Stidham was the starter, at least in the media's eyes, for 3 months. Then they signed Cam, and then he's the third-string quarterback after a guy he beat out a year ago. Hoyer is back, and it was better than him. It's just so bizarre. And then he's played three games, and you know, mm-hmm. when Cam's been so bad, and then the next week you're like, all right, is this the time for Stidham? And it's no. Well, now, they might, like, to Fourier's point, and we can get into this coming up too, neither one might be on the roster next year. So Cam Newton could be starting his final game of the season today as the Patriots take on the Jets at 1 o'clock. Tom E. Kern will join us at 10 o'clock. We'll get back to your phone calls here coming up on NFL Sunday, and it's brought to you by Kaplansky.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Turns.
Back to more NFL Sunday with Keith Fourier and Wiggy.
Presented by Kaplansky Insurance, Northeast Electrical, and Zudy.
On the home for Patriots fans, WEEI.
A question on Stidham, like, it's maybe it's not related, but is it fair to say that if you did start Stidham, you won't necessarily find out, you know, anything more than you already know about him?
I think there would be some truth to that.
There you go. That's great.
There you go, Christian.
Talking to the coach, Bill Belichick. Wiggy, remember that? Man,
Christian clearly didn't remember that one.
Pretty good.
He asked the question.
Yeah, and Billy agreed with him. Well, kind of agreed.
He agreed with me.
Sort of agreed with him.
He agreed with me. There's some truth to that. The answer is yes. There's so this just, I think we're all are trying to find out the same answer, and we're all mm-hmm. going about it different ways. Because I'm trying to figure out, okay, why does he love Newton so much? And in my opinion, is because Stidham is who he is. He's no better or worse than he was last year. He doesn't give you a better opportunity to win. He's still green. Going back to your point originally, Keith, if you go back to last year when they cut Hoyer, I believe they kept Stidham because Brady has such a long track record of never getting hurt.
Yeah,
that wasn't a huge risk. But keeping Hoyer was like, okay, what do we need Hoyer? He's an older guy. Let's keep Stidham. Let's try to develop him, knowing that he's never going to go in because Brady doesn't get hurt.
True.
So I would think they were more willing to take that chance with Stidham, You know, and I think it has less to do about how they really felt about him. They just needed him to get, you know, some experience.
And so, it cost less than Hoyer did last year as a backup. That's why they, that was another reason why they kept him.
But also, yeah. For you, if they really didn't like Stidham, or like say they were just like you said, like, we got Brady, and if Brady goes down, we're kind of screwed anyway, so we're just going to go with Stidham. He's the young guy. But you have a whole year of him. But you, in the back of your mind, you don't like him. You can't wait until the end of June to sign your next quarterback then. Like, that's insane. That's on them. What you got to either draft, they should have drafted Jalen Hurts, or they should have drafted Jordan Love, or they should have been more active. Now, I know they weren't going to pay Phillip Rivers. I don't want Phillip Rivers. I'm just saying, when all those guys, Teddy Bridgewater, when all those guys started changing teams, you probably should have been involved if you really didn't like Stidham that whole time.
Yeah, no, and to me, that's, I don't think we'll ever get that answer.
No, okay? Nope. No, we won't.
Why did you, because let's just assume Cam Newton wasn't available. Let's say, you know, a week before you decided, you know, I'm sure Cam was waiting around trying to get some more money. Nobody actually, you know, came through. It was getting too late. He said, crap, screw it. I'm just going to sign with the Patriots. Where were you? What do you think they would have been at that point in time?
Hoyer, I mean, screwed. Hoyer would have been the guy because he also.
It would have been Hoyer instead of back and forth.
It would have been Hoyer. Yeah.
Right. And the thing you have to realize is, and I don't want to say like, because I think like is a strong word, or they didn't like him. I think the problem is I don't think they ever really felt like Stidham was good enough to play in the NFL. So what I think they were hoping was is that maybe he'll develop over this, you know, the couple years that they drafted him and show signs that, all right, maybe at some point in time in his career he could play in the NFL. But when a guy doesn't play and there's clearly a need for the backup to get an opportunity, what does that tell you about that player? And that tells me that they don't think that this guy can play in the NFL consistently for a full game.
Well,
that's what
maybe.
It tells me about Stidham. Well, I don't think it's a maybe. I think because if they felt like he could play, they would put him in. Bill has never been a guy, no matter how much he likes you or how much he waxes poetic about you, he's never been a guy that's going to go, all right, I'm going to keep you in even though I know the guy behind you gives me a better chance of winning.
All right, let's go to the phones. We got Dave in Mystic. He joins us next on NFL Mystic. Sunday. What's up, Dave?
Hey, good morning, everybody. I had three questions for Wiggy, if you don't mind.
Sure, wow, rapid fire.
The first one is, are the Patriots still the team to beat in the AFC? Number two, should we still give Cam Newton $35 million for 3 years? And the third question is, has he been right about anything regarding the Patriots all year?
Ooh, well, good call, Dave. The year's
been
fluid. Hey, rip through him, Wiggy.
Wait a second.
Rip through him, Wiggy.
I love how people call up and take what you say and week
rip
two.
Rip through him, Wiggy.
Rip through him.
Answer him.
I'm ripping through them.
Team to beat.
They are no longer.
They're not the team to beat.
They're not the team. Bam. But I told you. I told you that.
No evaluation.
I told you that.
That's fine. $35 million a year for 3 years.
No.
Okay.
Okay, good. Last one.
Have you been right about anything?
Yes, I have. That Stidham's no good.
Yeah. Okay.
I was right about that.
I love it when we say rip for it. Wiggy's like, oh, hold on.
Unpack this.
But I love how people go, all right, in week two, you had an opinion about the team based on what you've seen. And Christian's the one who just told me my opinion should change over weeks to week. But when it does change.
It hasn't
changed
enough.
Well, no, it has. I probably said in week eight or week nine they weren't the best team in the AFC.
Yeah.
So it changed on that one. I said in week eight or week nine, Cam probably isn't getting his $30 plus million a year.
You know what's even more?
6-10 with a loss today.
I thought they were going to sneak in.
You know what's really, really kind of amazing to me is how unbelievable, like how much goodwill equity they had this year, like post Brady. Because I don't think, I think it was like hard to kind of evaluate them based on the 20 years of proving everybody wrong. Like, their ability to constantly prove people wrong, I think, had guys like Chris Sims kind of jaded, national guys. I mean, some local guys, too. You know, you kept believing because every time you doubted them, and there's been a million opportunities even week to week or in a game, they said, not this time, and then they proved you wrong.
Yeah.
That, to me, because if we were to look at this team, if this team was in any other conference, call it, if they were in the NFC East, we would sit there and go, who are they kidding? Like, if Chris Sims said something about this, like the Washington football team, like after they had benched Haskins, we would all sit there and go, these guys on crack.
But is it the same track record? See, I think the difference is...
No, that's my point, Wiggy. The point is, like, there is so much goodwill equity. I feel
right.
like what's almost everyone should get a pass. Because it's like we're all dealing with, like, you know, what's there's some syndrome, like, when you fall in love with your capture, the guy that captured Munchausen
Stockholm
syndrome. Stockholm syndrome. Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah, that's what we all have. We all have Stockholm syndrome.
We got to get to Curran. You're listening to NFL Sunday, presented by Kaplansky Insurance. More choices, more savings. Kaplansky.com. By Zuti, build any app your company needs fast. Visit Zuti.com for details. By Northeast Electrical and by the New England Recovery Center of Westboro.